Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters, and today is, I believe, April 21st, 2026. I missed the last program for good reasons, but we're rock and rolling here today. Anyway, I have a few things to say today, just to sort of keep things a bit interesting here. Hope you don't mind if I organize myself just a little bit here as I get underway. The main thing I want to do is, well, let me, the program is called Cambridge Inside Out, and certainly we could argue that it's mainly Cambridge sort of inside information, talking about civics, politics, things like that. But I actually just want to just kick it off here today, just because I need, you kind of sometimes I think I spend a little too much time here in this room, working on computers and computer files and working on my classes. But it's actually pretty important to me to actually get out of town sometimes. And I've had an involvement with the Middlesex Canal Association, just a general interest in the old historic Middlesex Canal going back to the 1980s, so really like a 40-year history of this. And I'm the person who leads the walks, or the principal person who leads the walks along five segments of the Middlesex Canal that we currently do. But every once in a while, I get to go out with the people who were not actually leading a walk, just to do some more exploration. And I was actually able to go and do some of that yesterday, which was great. Actually, getting out of town with my friend Roger Hakopian and Marlies Henderson from up in Billerica, to actually go exploring some segments of the Middlesex Canal. So, what I'd like to do here is, if I always have to remind myself how things work here. Is to here we go. Hopefully this is, yeah, here we go. Let me just get rid of some of this extra stuff. Anyway, it's just wanted to show you just a couple of little pieces of this here. So, for example, this was actually a little segment of the Middlesex Canal up in Billerica. We might as well blow it up a little bit right in here. It's actually a section where, even though I thought I'd sort of walked every segment of the historic Middlesex Canal, there are actually a few sections that I'd actually never walked, and this was one of them. And again, it's up in Billerica. The Middlesex Canal, for those of you who don't know, was the first major transportation canal in America, and it actually went from Sullivan Square in Charlestown. Sullivan Square is actually named for the first president of the Middlesex Canal Corporation. And the Middlesex Canal Corporation was the first real corporation in the United States of America. So it's actually significant for a lot of reasons. And it went all the way up to the Merrimack River in what was then called Middlesex Village. And it's now part of Lowell. Anyway, this was a nice pristine section, as well, pristine in the sense that development hasn't encroached upon it, and it's actually still a water-filled section of the canal. Right. After that, Roger and I actually took a drive over to where the Wilmington-Billerica line is on the Shawsheen River. Where there's some really spectacular remnants of the aqueduct of the Middlesex Canal that used to go over the Ipswich, the Shawsheen River, not the Ipswich, but the Shawsheen River. So this is the remains of the Shawsheen River aqueduct, which is really quite a spectacular piece of work. If you actually climb up on top of the embankment, you can actually see how. Over the years, a lot of this had been knocked down, and some of it had been placed, replaced and put up there. But you can see at least a little bit of the profile of the canal, at least suggestive of the profile of the original Middlesex Canal, there. So, anyway, so whether you look at it from below at the river level, or from above here, it's actually pretty spectacular. I'll kind of leave it at that here for the moment. And If anybody ever really wants to do some exploring, and just give me a shout. I need to get out of town some more, and I think this would be a great thing to do. By the way, the sections that we the southernmost visible remnant of the Middlesex Canal is actually on the east side of Lower Mystic Lake. Lower Mystic Lake or Upper Mystic Lake. Anyway, whatever it is. So the Mystic Lakes. When you come out of Somerville heading into Medford, anyway, we do segments in the Medford Winchester segment. We do a segment in Woburn. We do a segment in Wilmington, and we do two sections, very substantial sections, where it's water-filled canal for most of it still. Up in Billerica, we actually have a museum in North Billerica, which we're actually reconstructed. We're actually moving the museum to a new building, which was a warehouse right there where the original groundbreaking for the Middlesex Canal took place. So it's actually a pretty significant historical location. Anyway, again, Cambridge Inside Out, that's just a little bit of outside Cambridge. I've been following aqueducts, old railroad grades, canals, for many decades now at this point. So I guess you could call it a bit of a hobby of mine. And by the way, the Middlesex Canal, just bringing it right back to Cambridge, sort of like awkward segue here. Middlesex Canal, since it ended at the essentially where the Millers River is, basically, when everything was before the landfill had taken up, and where the railroad all the railroad interchanges are, and there were speculators around here who said, "Oh, this is going to be great. We're going to bring some commerce. We'll be able to bring materials down from New Hampshire." Because it was an extension of the canal that went way up into New Hampshire, and actually it was an extension of the canal that went across the Charles River. You had to pull the boats across into Haymarket. And Haymarket was really the southern terminus. It was really a marketplace, basically, that connected New Hampshire to Boston, right? By the way, for those that don't know, I mentioned this when I was doing the walk last weekend up in Woburn, that the first power canal in America is actually in the Boston area as well. It's actually called the Mother Brook Diversion, which took water from the Charles River and d redirected it down to the Neponset River, which was at a different level at that point. So you were able to run some mills that were run along the creek that was in there and to the Mother Brook. And it's still there. And it's kind of funny because they still operate a dam here to control the water level because by state law, the diversion can only take no more than one third the water of the Charles River and redirect it there. But it actually runs right through the Dedham Mall. I always like the juxtaposition of this incredibly significant historical artifact sitting like next to a Pizzeria Uno. Anyway, it's like maybe that's the story of Boston, is the proximity of historical things with modern things, no matter where you look. And it's a great, amazing thing. But anyway, when the Middlesex Canal was developed, which and it was created from 1790, approximately 1794 to 1803. And there was some, John Hancock was a major investor, the Adams family, not the one from TV, mind you, but John Adams, et cetera. When it opened, it actually spurred a lot of other activity. So there were speculators even in East Cambridge who developed a system of canals, most of which are gone now, that was going to sort of turn that into a port of significance that would actually connect with the Middlesex Canal. The only canal that remains now is the Broad Canal, and really only a segment of the Broad Canal. Most of it's gone. But there's a it's an interesting thing if you look at historical maps to see two canals that paralleled Broadway. I live on Broadway, so they came all the way up as far as what used to be Boston Woven Hose, and what's now the like where the One Kendall Square is, which isn't in Kendall Square. And there was a canal along where the railroad grade is now that headed all the way over to reconnected, basically turning East Cambridge into essentially like an island, over to around Gore Street. So anyway, all of this was kind of spurred by the Middlesex Canal's development. And so we, some of the development of Cambridge actually is related to Middlesex Canal in this regard. So again, most of that stuff is gone now. Just a little piece of the Broad Canal is still there, and it's really only recreational now. It's no more schooners are being pulled up there full of cargo. So anyway, maybe it's time to transition from some of that history. We'll get to some other history soon enough. Another thing that's I think very much worth mentioning here is that that we had since last year, anybody who drove or bicycled or walked along Mount Auburn Street knows that the street had been closed off because they would condemn the Riverview condominiums, the apartments that had been built there in the earlier days of the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority. So anyway, to the delight of many, that's the bulk of that is now done, and I believe I haven't been there myself yet, but Mount Auburn Street is reopened. Everything looks a lot different now because the larger building is gone, and I haven't yet heard any word on how the owners of those condos are going to recoup their investment, or whether the city's going to try and strong arm the property owners into doing something else. I don't know. Anyway, but it's progress of a sort. Speaking of construction, whatever, I think just because I live on Broadway, thought I might just ramble a little bit here about what's going on in Broadway. Many of us, I think I could pretty fairly say most of the people on Broadway are not fa in favor of the road reconfiguration that's being forced upon us by the city and their wonderful cycling safety ordinance. It's not only going to take away a lot of parking, but a lot of curb access, and no doubt, no question in my mind, is going to create a lot more congestion on Broadway and traffic jams. And actually, in my view, actually less safety because of the way these things tend to be so poorly configured. But we do get one little bit of a benefit out of this, which is that prior to doing the street reconfiguration, which will give us a repaving of the street, which is welcome, they've actually been repairing sidewalks, including right in front of my house. Of course, the downside is that we had an underground electrical connection that failed some 10 years ago, and Eversource never repaired it. So we're still on a temporary connection rigged off the back of a coffee shop next to me, with the wire being strung over into a live tree in my yard, and then draped over a branch to get to the utility pole in my yard to provide electricity from my building. And that really should have been addressed before they redid the sidewalk. But now, as of a few days ago, we have a nice brand new sidewalk in front, and the repairs that should have been made were never made. It's interesting to see that in front of Burismo, just a few feet down from me, there was once upon a time they had actually reconfigured a storm drain in there. And then apparently they never capped off some of the old work, and apparently it's the soil and everything have been undermining and being drawn into the storm drain for years, to the point where the sidewalk was sinking. So anyway, they repaired that today. Good, and I think probably right now, if they're not pouring concrete, they'll probably be back tomorrow in order to do that. So it's all sort of exciting. But again, not to belabor the point, but most of us are not particularly looking forward to the fact that pretty soon, they're going to come rampaging through here after they pave the street, which is nice, and then basically take away all our parking and make life a lot harder for a lot of us here. So, this is the new city of Cambridge. It's not the city of Cambridge that I remember when I first came here in 1978, where the city was very responsive to residents. I don't think the city administration, most of the city departments, really give a damn about what people in the city actually think anymore. But anyway, one man's opinion. One thing I think it was worth mentioning, and maybe I'll just sort of scoot over here to bring this up again here, is that in Central Square, again, it's sort of an awkward pivot here. There is some rezoning coming in Central Square. Probably significantly taller buildings, and most of us who really are very deeply involved with Central Square are not particularly bothered by the fact that there would be some increased heights and densities and things proposed for Central Square, because many of us believe that that's where a lot of new housing should be built, as opposed to trying to do a Siddiqui Azeem treatment to every side street in Cambridge and certainly every corridor in Cambridge to put in oversized buildings with no setbacks and disappearing backyards and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, over in Central Square, the rezoning is one issue, but apart from that, kind of somewhat unrelated from that, is the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority, which we mainly think of as associated with Kendall Square nowadays, is hosting an open house at the new Street Theory Collective, formerly Revolutionary Marijuana Place, on Tuesday, May 5th, starting at 5:30, just to kind of show the plans that the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority are presenting at this, some of the input they can do. I mean, they're somewhat independent of the city, technically independent of the city, which gives them a freer hand to do certain things. Now, maybe in the end, really, all this will be is just a way of providing institutional support to facilitate renovations at places like the dance complex and possibly other nonprofit entities that exist in and around Central Square, just like they did at 99 Bishop Allen Drive when they basically purchased the building and did the renovations so that the existing nonprofits that were working out of that building could continue to do so. There may be other things coming out of this. I really don't know. It's a little bit of a mystery, but unlike typical city processes where things can take a long, long time, like to go through public bidding processes and whatever, doing things via the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority, things can happen a lot faster. So anyway, I'll probably be there at the meeting on May 5th, just to kind of see what they've got to offer, but anyway, we'll see. Anyway, it's sort of worth mentioning. Another piece of news that I think is quite significant, a little personal reflection on it as well, is that the Cambridge Police Commissioner Christine Elo, without a lot of fanfare, just retired just like a week or so ago. Just no big lead in for it. Just announced her retirement, and that's it. And she's at least there's an interim or acting police commissioner is Pauline Wells, who many of you will know. Pauline, or Pauline Carter Wells, is the person who sings, at the things like city council inaugurations, Fenway Park, etc. She's actually a remarkable vocalist, but now she's also acting police commissioner. And the only thing I'm going to say about this is that I personally have a lot of fondness for Christine Elo as police commissioner. And the one little story that I'll tell about this is that when there was some bad stuff going on up at City Hall, there were a bunch of protesters a couple of years ago who were shutting down meetings, and those protesters were then joined by one rather aberrant city councilor and his aide, to join with the protesters to shut down their own meeting, which to me was absolutely unforgivable. And I was very angry at that meeting. And at that same meeting, the police commissioner was being called a murderer by some of the protesters because there had been this unfortunate police-involved shooting of this kid in Cambridgeport, not long before that. And I was pretty angry at that meeting, and really at the disruption of a meeting by people who really were completely ill-informed and just problematic. And here we have the police commissioner who's basically being harassed and called a murderer by these people, but she sees me being angry, so as you know, and kind of upset at things. So I'll never forget when I was exiting the building, going through the basement. So Christine was down there. And while she's being right at when she's being, accused of every unfair thing under the sun, she puts her hands on my shoulders, seeing that I had been angry and upset, and said, "Are you okay?" And she escorted me out of the building like it was like, she was like the person who was more concerned about my personal welfare than the fact that she was being harassed and berated by this mob upstairs. I thought that just said everything anybody needed to know about Christine Elo. So anyway, I don't know whether Pauline Wells will stay on as police, become go from acting to permanent police commissioner, or whether they're going to do an intergalactic search, which is what the city often likes to do. But at least I can confidently say, I think the Cambridge Police Department is in good hand, was in good hands, has been in good hands for quite a few years, and is currently in good hands. So I think that's worth saying here. Now, another thing that I think is maybe worth mentioning here, and you don't mind me as I sort of putter around with my tech stuff here. But it's that there was some announcements of appointments to city boards and commissions recently, as well as an invitation for people to join some city boards and commissions, or to apply to join certain city commissions. And I thought maybe I would want to speak to that just a little bit here, so if I may. And again, I want to, maybe I'll have to jump down a little bit to get to this here. So in terms of the new vacancies, there's opportunities for those who are interested to serve on the Commission for Persons with Disabilities Advisory Board, deadline May 18th. The Public Planting Committee, which has a long and spectacular history in the city of Cambridge, also application deadline May 18th. And perhaps the most curious one for me personally is the Traffic Board, again application deadline May 18th. All right, now let me speak to that last one before getting back to some other matters here. The Traffic Board was established by state law. There was a special act in 1961 that actually established the position of a traffic, basically our person who heads the traffic department, and with that there was an appeals process, so that it was the head of the traffic department, I think it was called traffic commissioner, whatever it was called, let's call it traffic commissioner. Had to be an engineer, a registered engineer, which the city has in recent years violated, but apparently keeps an engineer or two, at least in theory, on staff. So maybe they feel that that allows them to somehow claim that they're abiding by the law. But anyway, it was a part of the establishment of this powerful position. The person who could just promulgate regulations, on parking and traffic and things like this, without having to even go to the city council for approval. They created a traffic board, which was with an appeals process, so that I think it was, I can't remember, maybe it was 50 signatures, and you could appeal something. Could even be something as simple as the fact that they put parking meters on your street and you say, "We don't like that." And So, people could sign a petition, protest it, and then this three-person traffic board would have to adjudicate the matter. It seemed like, right? So, like the Board of Zoning Appeals, you can disagree with, you can want to go against zoning, but you could make it a, file for an exception for it, right? Anyway, over the years, I couldn't tell you when, I do know some people, at least one person who served on the traffic board back into the 1990s, but then it was just allowed to just sort of fall into disuse until a few of us started pointing out that, we're supposed to have a traffic board and the citizens of the city should have a right to appeal certain decisions that are being made by the traffic department. And then eventually our new city manager eventually came around and said, they're right. We did. And I believe me, I contacted previous city managers and asked about this. Previous city council said, yeah, no, it was never, they never got rid of the traffic board. So they reconstituted it. And several years ago, three people were appointed to it. And let's understand the context. We are also in this context where they're doing a lot of road reconfiguration, and which you could argue is a form of regulation, right? Including bike lanes. So maybe some people could sort of raise some objections to some of what was being done with the roads, and the removal of parking and things like that. So our current city manager appointed a three-person traffic board. And those of us who kind of know about this stuff, we looked and said, yeah, I made sure that all three of them were gung-ho bike supporters, right? Well, guess what? For 3 year passed, and as far as I know, that board has never met once, but now it has vacancies. If you'd like to be on the traffic board, you can apply to be on the traffic board, but I'm kind of guessing that if you have any point of view about road reconfiguration and Vision Zero and bike lanes or whatever, if you haven't completely drunk the Kool-Aid, there's a pretty good chance you'll never get appointed to this committee. I mean, it's kind of a problem for me is that a lot of city committees are becoming less and less representative of the people of the city. It's basically you can have a slim majority of a city councilor in a city that has proportional representation can yield 100%100% or of a single orientation on some of our city boards as a result. And again, as I often point out, if you were something like a recycling advisory committee, I would understand that you wouldn't want to be appointing people who were adamantly opposed to recycling. Of course, that wouldn't make any sense. But there are a lot of different points of view, even in things like recycling, and certainly in terms of traffic and regulation. But we're not going to see rep we're not going to see a proportionally representative board probably anytime soon. It's just the way things are, and I don't think that's a good thing. But I think I just will suggest that that is sort of the way things are.